Our text this morning is Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will dine with him, and he with me. Those who have been with us over the past weeks know that we have been taking a little journey through the first section of the book of Revelation, looking at the first three chapters, and we're coming to the end of that little tour as we have one more message on the churches, the seven churches. The first chapter of the book of Revelation gives us the introduction to this great book and also gives us a beautiful picture, a revelation of Jesus Christ himself. And then Jesus speaks to seven churches. And we've been looking at the messages of Jesus to each one of these churches. We've taken a little bit of time to do this. And as we've come to the final letter, we've gotten a broad view of what Jesus has to say to the church at Laodicea. But because verse 20 is a verse which is interpreted in various ways, I thought I would spend a little bit more time in looking at this particular text in detail. And the proposition I am laying before you, which is at the head of the outline, is quite simple, having to do with this text. We must relish Jesus Christ in our midst, the voice of the Savior speaking to us, and holy oil fueling our lamp. You see, in the vision of Jesus Christ, you might want to turn back to the first chapter. In the vision of Jesus Christ, Jesus says to John, write in a book what you see, verse 11, and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus and to Smyrna and to Pergamum and to Thyatira and to Sardis and to Philadelphia and to Laodicea. And John says, I turned to see the voice that was speaking with me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the middle of the lampstands, one like the Son of Man. And at the end of the first chapter, Jesus says, as for the mystery of the seven stars which you saw in my right hand and the seven golden lampstands, the seven stars are the seven angels and the seven churches of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. And so the churches, the lampstands are a symbol of churches. And of course, the church of Jesus Christ is to be light in the world. And how is the church fueled? The church is fueled by the presence of Jesus Christ in her midst. And you see in the vision the Lord Jesus walking in the midst of the lampstands. And not only so, walking in the midst of the people of the individual churches. And this is in fulfillment of the great promise of God. I will be with you, and I will be your God, and you will be my people. And this is in great fulfillment of the promise of God when he gave the name Emmanuel to Jesus Christ. The name Emmanuel means what? What does it mean? I'm with you, right? God with us. See, this is an amazing thing. And so the whole structure of the beginning of the book of Revelation has to do with Jesus Christ walking in the midst of his people and being in his church intimately with his people. And as we've gone through the beginning of this book, I've tried to emphasize the fact that if we are the people of God, Jesus Christ is in our midst, even now, presently. And this is a wonderful thing, that we're not just a club, a social gathering. We're part of the church of Jesus Christ, the body of Christ. And Jesus is here, folks. He's in our midst.
even now. And this text in Revelation chapter 3 and in verse 20 has to do with this very concept, it seems to me. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him, and I will dine with him, and he with me. In the first point in the outline, I ask the question then, what is the door in Revelation 20? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And this text brings to mind the picture of Jesus standing at the door and knocking. And I remember as a youngster, attending a congregational church, that's the picture that was in the back of the church, behind the pulpit, in stained glass. That was a picture of Jesus standing at the door and knocking at the door. And so I ask the question, what is the door? Is Christ knocking at the door of the unbeliever's heart? This is one of the ways that this text is often interpreted. And many commentators interpret this text in this fashion, and it's used as a pointed evangelistic text. And this is an application of the text, no doubt, as many of the commentators use it in this fashion. But as I examine the picture that is taken from this text of Jesus standing at the door, I noticed a couple of things about that picture. That picture is of Jesus standing at a wall, and there's a door there, and lo and behold, the latch on the door is on the side where Jesus is. And the hinges are on the side where Jesus is, and the door opens toward Jesus. Now think about this. When someone rings the doorbell at your house, how does the door swing, your front door? Does it swing out? Is that how that front door opens? No, it doesn't. You're on the inside and you open the door on the inside, right? And let the person who's on the outside in. Well, that's not how the picture is at all. The picture is of Jesus being able to open that door. It's very interesting that should be the case. And that's actually the case in our conversion. Because as we've talked about it in our lessons this weekend with the CY, we've tried to stress the fact that when we enter the world, we enter the world as sinners. We enter the world as individuals who are not able not to sin. Did you follow that? We're not able not to sin. Okay? And if in that condition Jesus were to knock on the door, what would we say? In that condition of hostility and not able not to sin, we'd say, fine, you're knocking at the door, I'm going to go about my business. Okay? That's the case. So Jesus has to take the initiative in salvation. And we stress this many times. In addition to this, the context of our text is quite interesting. Point two in our outline. The door is an entrance. Christ is outside the church at Laodicea. Look at this. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. I submit to you that this is a letter to the church at Laodicea, and that Jesus Christ is standing outside the church at Laodicea and knocking. So this is very interesting. This would be a terrible situation. Let's read this letter again, the whole letter. And to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, says this, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I would that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm
and neither hot nor cold. I will spit you out of my mouth, because you say I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and you do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire, that you may become rich, and white garments that you may clothe yourself, and that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and eye salve to anoint your eyes that you may see. Those whom I love I reprove and discipline. Therefore, be zealous and repent. What is Jesus saying to this church? Jesus is saying to this church, look, you think you're wealthy. You think you are in good stead with me. You think you are in a proper relationship with me. Hold it, Jesus is saying. Hold it. Step back a minute. Think about this. You don't have it put together the way you think you should. You think you're wealthy, but you're really in poverty. Repent, therefore. Change your thinking about yourself. See, this is what Jesus is saying to this church. And then we have verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. You need to repent, church. I'm outside. You know, this frightens me a little bit. I wonder how many churches in the United States of America are gatherings that profess Christianity, but Jesus Christ is really outside and not inside. Do you think that's a possibility? I'd like to read to you from the Westminster Confession of Faith. This is the chapter on the church. Listen to this. Particular churches are more or less pure according as the doctrine of the gospel is taught and embraced, ordinances administered, and public worship performed more or less purely in them. As the gospel is taught and embraced, as public worship is performed and more or less purely performed within them. Now suppose a church like ours came together and we just said, well, you know, we need to come together and sing a couple of songs, and the pastor gets up there and jumps up and down behind the pulpit and rants a little bit, and then he pronounces a benediction, and then we go home and we fulfilled our obligation for the week. I see a couple of you shaking your heads. Exactly. That's not what it's about, is it? I remember sitting in a Sabbath school class in one of our Reformed Presbyterian churches several years ago, and the subject was worship, and I had been asked to lead the class, and I talked about the fact we were in one of the minor prophets. I don't remember at all which of the prophets it was, but we were in one of the minor prophets, and the prophet was speaking about worship and the necessity of coming before God with a heart full of love before God and not just worshiping with our lips. And you remember the words of Jesus in this regard. They worship me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. And one of the men in that Sabbath school class offered, he said, well, you know, we do it right. We sing the Psalms, and other churches don't sing the Psalms. We do it right, so we're okay. Time out. Time out. You know, it's like Coach Parcells in that commercial. Won't anybody stop the clock? Time out. You know, we can have the right form, but if our hearts are not right with God. We're not a proper church. See, that would be the point. And the point in the text is that Jesus Christ is outside knocking. Now the question would be, why would He be knocking? I say in the third point in our outline, this knocking may indicate impending judgment. And I have a text there, James chapter 5 and verse 9. Turn back in your Bibles with me to James 5, 9. Look at James 5, 9, please. I'd like you to notice that the context here in James is principally the same as the context in Revelation. Let's read 7 through 9 again. Be patient, therefore, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. Behold, the farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil, being patient about it until he gets the early and the late rains. And I think about some of you fellows that farm, and I know that sometimes when you're waiting, it can be a time of anxiety, and you can get a little impatient about that. But James talks about the fact that the person on the farm waits and should wait patiently. You have to wait upon God. Verse 8 says, you too be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not complain, brethren, against one another, that you yourselves may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing right at the door. Why does Jesus often knock at the door? Why is He there? He's at the door, James 5, 9 says, as the judge. See, He's right at the door as the judge of all. I'm absolutely astounded by this. You know what else the Bible says about the Church of Jesus Christ? The Bible says about the Church of Jesus Christ that judgment begins first of all where? With the household of God. Be zealous, therefore, and repent is the message in the book of Revelation, you see. It's very important. Look again at Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door. I'm contemplating preaching on the text from the Psalms. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. And the doorkeeper is the one who opens the door. And opens the door so people can come in and have fellowship with Jesus. Well, now I've given away my plans here. At any rate, here is the door. And Jesus is on the outside. And I think, again, it's a picture of the church. And Jesus is saying, if anyone hears my voice, and that's the question. Does anyone in there hear the voice of Jesus? That's the question with regard to the church at Laodicea. Jesus has already said to those professing Christians in Laodicea, you're lukewarm, folks. And I won't go through the details again, but he says, I'm going to regurgitate you. You kind of make my stomach churn a little bit. I'm nauseous because of you folks. So it's not a pretty picture. And Jesus is there knocking, and the question is, does anyone hear His voice on the inside of the church? Well, let's get this concept again. What does it mean to hear His voice? Well, we just read from John chapter 10. and the beautiful picture of the shepherd and the sheepfold. Turn back to John chapter 10, would you please? Where Jesus speaks about the sheepfold. See, we're trying to get an idea by comparing Scripture with Scripture, what this text is about in Revelation 3:20. Let's read John 10 once again. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the sheepfold, into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. How is Jesus trying to enter? He's trying to enter by the door of the sheepfold. The church is a sheepfold. And Jesus ought to be in the midst of the sheepfold. He ought to be in the midst of his sheep. And he enters in by the door, it says in John chapter 10. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. Those who are in the sheepfold acknowledge Jesus. They say, yeah, I recognize that voice. We've got a couple of Cocker Spaniels at home. And when I let them out of the basement, one of them we have to tie up because she'll run away. And her name is Tikva. And, it's a strange name. Inevitably, when she scampers out the door and with the other little black cocker spaniel, I holler, okay, Tikva, back. I rattle the leash, and usually she comes back. Why is that? She knows my voice, right? Somebody else hollers. If one of you were to holler, except one of our family members, she wouldn't pay any attention. She'd go on. Sometimes that happens anyway, in this case. But it's the same with the shepherd and the sheep, right? The sheep know the shepherd's voice. And they love to have the shepherd come in to the midst of the fold. Because when the shepherd comes in to the midst of the fold, the shepherd calls each of the sheep by name. And if there's one of the sheep has a little wound or a little problem, the shepherd pours oil on the wound and rubs the oil into that wound and loves that sheep a little bit. See? This is the case, isn't it? So the church is a sheepfold. And Jesus loves to be in the midst of the people. And Jesus loves to call the people of God in the church by name. And very often when we are in a worship situation like this, I've had this happen to me many, many different times. Someone will come up to me after the service is over and they'll say, that message this morning was for me. Came right home to me. See, that's the shepherd speaking to the sheep and calling the sheep by name in the midst of the people of God. And when Jesus knocks, and people hear his voice, and he enters into the midst of those people, and he begins to love them and care for them and speak to them by name. It's a glorious time. It really is. We had a young lady in our house here the other night who showed us a video of her church, and it happened to be a black Pentecostal church in Oklahoma. It was in Oklahoma City. Okay? And a small church. And she says, now I have to warn you here that you're going to hear a few voices in the background. And when you hear this lady in the background saying, amen, amen, preach it, brother. So that's my mother. Okay? And that's how it is in some of those churches. I said to her, I got to tell you a little story, because in our church in Orlando, which is right in the center of the city of Orlando, they have several black people that are worshiping there, and they're back there saying, "Preach it, brother, say amen." And some of the older folks in the congregation are looking over their shoulders because they're not used to that sort of thing. But it's a good thing. And when Jesus is in the midst of his people and the shepherd is there calling his people and you hear him calling your name and you hear his voice, what is the immediate response that should rise up within our hearts? Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Right? Isn't that the response that ought to be present? And so, in the picture that's given to us in John 10, it's a figure of speech. Again, verse 4 in John chapter 10, when he puts forth all of his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. And a stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. See? Knowing the voice of the shepherd. Back in Revelation 3:20 now, look at that text. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him. I'll come in to him. Now, the words are very specific here. The words are entering into a place to be with someone. Okay? The words are not into as into a heart. That's not the word that's used. Okay? In the original language. That's not the word that's used. The implication here is that there is a entering in to be with these people. Now, I've been saying repeatedly in our congregation that one of the texts that we ought to take seriously is James 4:8. Draw near to God and He will draw near to you. And when we come together as a people, we ought to come together with the intention of drawing near to God. We really ought to do that. And we ought to come together with an expectation that God will draw near to us. Okay? That we're just not coming here to sit in the pew and listen to this fellow babble and sing a couple of songs and hear the benediction and wish the benediction would hurry up and get there so that we could get on with other things. See? But we should come with an intention to draw near to God. And how do we draw near to God? We draw near to God by reading His Word. We draw near to God by praying. We draw near to God by singing and worshiping together. We draw near to God by listening. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We draw near to God as we do these things. And if God is in our midst, if Jesus Christ is in our midst, then we may expect Jesus Christ to do things in us and with us, you see. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him. And I will dine with him and he with me. See, this is the genius of the Church of Jesus Christ. It's to have fellowship in a special way with God. So I say in the fourth point, just backing up a minute, the faithful church is a sheepfold. The sheep of the fold hear the voice of Jesus. And they want to hear that voice more and more. And in point five, the true sheepfold never shuns Christ, but heeds the Savior and draws near to God through Him. See, that's why we're here. And it would be a terrible thing, folks, a terrible thing, if Jesus were on the outside
and knocking. And we didn't hear His voice, but just went about our business because we said, Jesus, it's none of Your business what we're doing here. That would be a terrible thing. It really would. And finally, I say then, the result of the church's fellowship with Christ, the result is the church's fellowship with Christ and a foreshadowing of the bliss of heaven. Look at Revelation 3:20 again. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him, and I will dine with him, and he with me. See, the idea is that Jesus comes into the midst of his people, and we feast upon Christ. And we have fellowship with Christ. And the idea is table fellowship. Intimate family fellowship. It's epitomized in the Lord's Supper. When we come to the table of the Lord. And we eat of the bread. And we drink of the cup. Yes, we each one eat of the bread. And each one of us drinks of the cup. We do that. But together, what are we doing? We're dining with Jesus. That's what's taking place. We're gaining strength from the Savior. We're feasting upon Him. And we have an opportunity to do that when we look into His Word and we feast upon His Word. And we gain strength from His Word. And in the end, all of this pictures the great wedding feast of the Lamb. Are you interested in that final feast of being at that wedding with the Lamb? See? That's what it's all pointed towards. That fellowship. And when there's a wedding, and a young man and a young woman say those vows together before the congregation, it's a picture of the wedding feast of the Lamb. And it's a picture of the fellowship that we have with Jesus. And that's what it's about. And the problem at Laodicea was this. Jesus was outside. Rather than being inside with the people, walking among the people, and talking with the people. So the question then is, in our congregation and in the congregations that are represented here, where is Jesus? Is He here in the midst of us now? Calling us by name, speaking to us. And if this is the case, do you hear His voice? Do you? The church is a special dwelling place of God and the Spirit. And if we are the church of Jesus Christ, friends, Jesus is here. We hear His voice. And when He knocks, it's not for judgment, but it's to be in fellowship with us. Let's pray together. Father, I thank You for this picture. And I pray, O God, that You would be pleased to help us understand this picture that we've talked about this morning. And I pray for every one of the congregations that's represented here, this congregation and others.
that we would be churches in the midst of which your Son, Jesus Christ, resides richly. And that we know that this is the case. And I pray, Father, that as a result, we would come together with great anticipation to draw near to you. Because you will draw near to us. Bless us to this end, we ask. In the name of Jesus. Amen.